the family of God is such a poignant subject and in a way all-encompassing for how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to center our thoughts, and how we're supposed to present ourselves to each other in the sense of the proper form. Like, will we do this? The family of God, fellowship and family. And I definitely struck out the importance that we all tend to put on relationships. I think if you attach value to anything worldly, and I'm not aware of this, you're on the wrong path. You're just on the wrong path. Jose did a great job in showing what the Word says about what God expects His family to be like, how we're supposed to structure our lives. He showed the scriptures that paint the building, close in the building so bad weather can't get in. And it's a perfect segue into understanding simplicity, which is something that I wanted to make mention of. And if you don't get all of it, it's just very short, but if you don't get all of it, it's going to be the February Argos, year 31. And if we could understand Jesus Christ's innocence, then we can understand the role we're supposed to play in the faith. The bottom line is that simplicity is innocence. And what got me thinking about this was how we're supposed to live simple lives. Not be attached to this world in any way. And that is possible with very few exceptions. But it takes a spirit-driven heart to attain that. And that's personal. And so Jose advised us of God's expectations. He showed us the building. And I'm going to share something on simplicity, which allows us to live in that building. And it gives us a way to truly benefit all of God's actions in terms of the family that He designed. And you might be thinking about your own personal family when I talk about family and fellowship, and that's wonderful. But also think about God's family, because that's the gold standard. God's family. No matter how hard you do it, your family on earth is not going to be like God's family. But there could be similarities. And we're supposed to design our families after God's design. So depending on how much of that you implement, that will determine how much closer you model your family on earth to God's family. Simplicity is innocence. And we're supposed to simply have an innocent mindset. That's the easiest way I can put it. I'm going to first read out of Hebrews 7 so you can turn there. But I want to say a couple things first. And I want you to look at this like how you can more deeply embed yourself into God's family. And it's by behavior, it's by activity, it's by action, it's by mindset. It truly is by your heart. Simplicity is innocence. Just short of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ is the greatest example of innocence that we have. God is the most innocent. But Jesus Christ strove to be innocent. And he was. He never failed. So he's our perfect example. Because Jesus Christ was a man. Real men, humans. Jesus Christ was human. And that means we can exemplify him. If we were supposed to exemplify God, we'd fail. Because God says there's only one God, and there can't be more than one God. There's none other like him. Which means we can't really be like God. But we can be like Jesus Christ. He was given to man on the level of the senses so that we could obtain godly characteristics in so much as they apply to humanity. God never asked you to be like him. I've never seen that in life. He asks us to do things which are infused with the things of God. But he doesn't say, you must be like me. You're going to take on his characteristics automatically. Because of Christ in you. That's a little bit of God right there. God in Christ in you. It's seed. So eventually, with the appropriate mindset and openness of heart, you start to look more and more godly. God's family is the most innocent structure ever devised. It was planned in innocence. It was crafted without guile and implemented in an utterly harmless manner. God called us to his family through innocence. He gave us his son with a single motive. To have a personal family in which he fathers his children. And now he asks us, and this is where Jose's teaching came in, to adopt and maintain the same mindset that Jesus Christ has. Total and complete innocence. Jesus Christ's simplicity in action is what allows him to impartially deal with God on our behalf forever. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. No matter what your need is, no matter what your situation is, no matter where you were in the devil's kingdom when you were called, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. If you came to God because you were called, there's no possibility of you not being received. God would never have called you and then not received you. He receives all those whom he calls. So if you have sin consciousness and doubt regarding salvation, keep that in mind. He would never have called you and then told you to get out of his life. That just doesn't happen. We've got to grow up in that area, wouldn't you say? And so Jesus Christ's simplicity in action has all to do with his impartial dealings with God on our behalf forever. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. You cannot get to God without Jesus Christ. You must go through Jesus Christ. The entire nation of Iran is rejecting Islam. The entire nation, 88 million people. And we are watching history unfold. But you really have to ask yourself, what's up? Spiritually speaking, heaven's perspective. I would say that Christianity is on the move. Because one of the most spiritually defiant races, meaning belief systems on this earth, has been toppled. That's unheard of, in a sense. And you're witnessing. But God is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is our intercessor, God will never refuse that person, those people. So you have two things going for you regarding your calling. Number one, God would never call you and refuse you. Secondly, Jesus Christ will never intercede for you and face failure. Never. And then we learn that Jesus Christ ever lived, verse 25, to make intercession for them. That is what he does. You ever wondered what he does? He's always conferring with God for you. Always. It never stops. Anytime you have needs, any person seeking salvation the right way, Jesus Christ is always dealing with God for you, for them. verse 26. For such an high priest became interesting use of English words, us. I need to throw something in there. For such an high priest did Jesus become conspicuous? Not a question, statement. To be suitable or proper or homely for us. Jesus Christ is a high priest for us, the high priest. There's none other like him. Who is holy? He's completely detached from human statutes and relations. He has formal, or he's completely detached also from formal consecration, purity from defilement. He has no defilement, and all of his positioning and activities are basically unrelated to anything human. Any worldly relations, they're completely and unalterably separated from them. He's also harmless, which means he's unmixed. He's not mixed with anything worldly. He's not bad in any way. He's innocent in all ways. And he has what you could call an unsuspecting nature. He's just pure. He's also undefiled, which means unsoiled. And he's pure, absolutely pure. And he's separate from sinners. And that means he's never in the space of sinners. He never enters into this sinner's way. He has never had room made for him to be a sinner. Now he helps sinners. But even that understanding tells us the folly of us saying we're just sinners. I'm going to tell you something. Once you accept Jesus Christ, you walk as far away from being a sinner as you could ever get. And if you don't confess that, you're confessing what's not true. Because if you have Christ in you, you also have this space between you and a sinner. Now, what is a sinner? Those are people who miss the mark, but it's far greater than that. These are people who have a certain and existing state of being. A sinner's state of being. Well, you don't have that. I'm not talking about mistakes that you made. Well, you get it wrong sometimes. I'm talking about a state of being. Like what we were before we were born again. We are citizens of this world. Satan was our God. But Jesus Christ gave us something else to attain. Jesus Christ was made higher than the heavens. And I want this to lift you out of any negative mindset, out of any erroneous doctrine, out of any doubt and fear regarding your personal salvation, regarding forgiveness of sins, regarding being part of God's family, because Christ was made higher than the heavens. Well, what does that mean? Higher is talking about lofty. Have you ever had a house with a loft? Yeah, it's like a second floor that's kind of open. Lofty. He was made lofty in place or character. Another way to look at that word is esteem. There is no other man esteemed like Jesus Christ. And then we get to the word heavens. So he was more esteemed, the most esteemed. God never esteemed anyone else. He esteemed Christ. But because you have Christ in you, you automatically benefit from that. You are now esteemed. Not alone, but on Christ's behalf. Then the heavens. And heavens encompasses many things. It could be the sky. But let's go past that. It could be happiness. It could be power. It could be eternity. That's a shortness. But Jesus Christ was more esteemed and is more esteemed than anything that you have to endure, than any semblance of humanity. And that's what you have within you. You have been sent to the top floor. As soon as you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, you were gifted innocence. And you were moved from the bottom of the heap to the top of the heap. We're all up there together. We're all at the top of the heap together. And we're not fighting for space. Because we've been gifted space from sinners. There's one room. And we will never share that space again. And so, I'll give you a literal of verses 24, 25, and 26. And you'll have to read the February audios to understand man's simplicity in action. We're talking about Jesus Christ's simplicity, his innocence in action, which was to impartially deal with God on our behalf forever. And so you just can't make this any less. I mean, he is our end all. And how do you apply that? Well, you must become innocent in action. Which means you must impartially and innocently live in God's family forever. Which you will. This is a state of being, folks. This is not something you have to struggle with. It's beautiful. So the rituals, and I hope you have enough patience to wait until February. Hope I didn't say January. I almost think I might have. The February 2026 RDS. So let's look at the rituals, and then I'll say amen and amen. But this Jesus Christ continued ever and hath an unchangeable priesthood. None of these things can change. No matter your doubt, your fears, your ignorance, your lack of knowledge, and none. No matter where you came from, no matter what you've gone through, Jesus Christ's priesthood in this esteemed position that only God could have placed him in is unchangeable. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. There is nothing that won't be done for you in terms of Jesus Christ dealing with God on behalf of you forever to the uttermost. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. That's how you get to God, by him. It doesn't say that come unto Jesus Christ, like most of the world religions teach. Like religions, that is. So anyone who can be saved that comes unto God by him. Why? Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession to confer and deal with God for them. That was verses 24 and 25, and here's 26. For such an high priest is Jesus Christ for us. He conspicuously was suitable, proper, and comely, distinguished from human statutes and relations, formal consecration, purity from defilement, innocent and unmixed, unsoiled and pure, separated in space from people who sin in their existing state of being. Jesus Christ is made lofty in both place and character, esteemed higher than happiness, power, eternity, and even the sky. I read that so fast, I better do it again, slower. For such an high priest is Jesus Christ for us. He conspicuously, everybody saw, no denying, was suitable, proper, and comely, distinguished from human statutes and relations, formal consecration or consecration, purity from defilement, innocent and unmixed, unsoiled and pure. That's Jesus Christ. Separated in space from people who sin in their existing state of being. Jesus Christ is made lofty in both place and character, esteemed higher than happiness, power, eternity, and even the sky. So that was Jesus Christ's innocence, simply an innocent mindset. That's how he was, and that's how he is. He's never partial. He's always impartial when he talks to God through you. And the next section, which I'm not going to start today, is man's simplicity in action. How does man act out this God-given innocence, which is to impartially live in God's family forever? That's all you have to do, is just live. And you will be impartial, and you will be living according to the standard that Jesus Christ set. We'll get into that in the February 2026 Artios. Love you guys.